So the budget passes?
Yes.
All right, the budget passes. So now we'll move on to the consolidated Pacifica budget. So, Tracy.
Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you, Teresa. Tracy.
Yes, that's correct. The consolidated budget was sent out to everyone. Just to be clear, what the consolidated budget is a chart of accounts with the numbers dropped in from the 7 divisional budgets previously passed. The consolidated budget cannot be amended by this board because we've already passed all 7 divisional budgets, and it is the formal budget for the organization. I'll just summarize the numbers, which are total revenues of $13,846,000, listener support of $9,800,000, donations of $513,000, website income of $292,000, community events $279,000, $237,000 in affiliate dues. I'm just hitting on some of the larger numbers. And a total of $769,000 in CSG funding, $264,000 in NPPAG funding, for a total of $13,846,000. Total expenses come out to $13,302,000. And those include salaries of $6,624,000, board expenses of $204,000, administrative expenses of $2.2 million, programming expenses of $2.4 million, development expenses $1.6 million, and community event expenses of $116,000. I would like to offer it for a vote. And again, there's not a whole lot to discuss because all these numbers are simply piped in from the 7 divisional budgets we've already approved. And you can see straight across the rows how the numbers break out by division.
Okay. So are there any objections to approving this budget?
Just one abstention.
One abstention. So, Mr. Secretary, would you please call the roll? Richard,
can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay. Sorry. Edward Seekard, Rosenberg.
Yes.
Wilkinson. Diaz. King. Norman.
Abstain.
Thank you. Sid. Razan. Crumshow. Can't hear you, John. Medina. Reese. Reese.
I'm sorry, did you say Reese on consolidated? Yeah.
Yes. Alan.
Alan says yes.
Thank you. Polinar. Mitchell. Giselle, yes. Burton.
Yes.
Yes. Coleman.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Sada.
Yes.
Yes. Lane Ewart.
Yes.
Thank you. Crumshow, are you there?
I think he's on the call, but John?
That's right.
Okay.
Mr. Secretary, did you ask for Roberts' vote? I just wondered.
Roberts, are you there? Can't hear you.
Thank you.
Thank you. 801.
All right, so the consolidated budget passes. Thank you so much. And thank you to the Finance Committee for this great work. And the Treasurer, Tracy, thank you for your comments.
Bravo.
Thank you,
absolutely.
Tracy.
So I want to move now The next item on the agenda is proposed bylaws amendments. I hope you all have...
Oh, hello. Richard, this is John Crumshaw, and I'm sorry. Did you get my vote? Because I was trying to say yes, but I don't know if you got it.
I did not get it, but the vote is gone, so it is
all right.
Passed. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I know, 801, I heard it. All right, thank you.
I hope everyone has the bylaws in front of them. The way we're going to do this is to, we have some of these bylaw amendments that will be motivated, actually, by some individuals. Some, I don't have someone to motivate them, but for those we're going to motivate, we will have the motivation and then have some discussion. Each amendment will take 10 minutes for discussion. So for this first amendment, which is it's Article 4, Section 3. It's the election of delegates. And I'm going to ask Bill Crozier, who is actually streaming tonight. He's the former vice chair of the Pacifica Board. He served on the governance committee where they had quite a bit of discussion about this. He's also been head of the elections committee for quite a few years as well. And he is also the author of these amendments, so I'm going to ask him to join us in the call and motivate these first two amendments. We'll start with the first one. So, Bill, are you there?
Yeah. I'm Heather. Yeah, sorry, I was unmuting myself.
Thank you for joining us. So if you would please motivate this first amendment, it would be appreciated.
Okay, well, thank you. Amendment number one, which is to reduce the size of the LSBs and the delegate assemblies to 16, that's a reduction of one-third from the current size of 24. This and the other, and number two, which kind of go together, you could pass either one independent of the other one, but they're both designed to make the boards a little more functional. If you saw the email I sent out previously, many nonprofit governance advisory groups strongly recommend smaller boards. You get smaller than about five or six, obviously, and you don't get enough diversity of opinion on there. But most of them say when you get beyond about 12, or certainly more than 15, you get more negative effects than any benefit you have to having more opinions or more people on the board. And in fact, it's actually counterproductive. When you start getting more people than about 15 for sure on the boards, then fewer people actually get to speak. People who talk a lot, like me, tend to dominate the discussions, and the quieter people don't say anything. So you actually get less diverse opinions expressed because there just isn't time for everybody to talk. And 16, which is what this Amendment 1 would shrink the LSBs down to, would certainly provide plenty of diversity, and especially where there are elections by STV, that doesn't change. It also does not change the ratio between staff and listener at all, and it would take effect with the next delegate election. So let me just point out one other thing on all these amendments, is that if you're not sure, it's best to just vote yes, so that the delegate assemblies, the different stations, can make the final decision, because an abstention counts the same as a no, according to our bylaws now. And with only, I counted, I believe, 11 people on the call, it's going to take all of you to vote yes to approve any of these. So an abstention will kill the amendment, and then the individual stations will not have an opportunity to vote on it. So I think it's a good idea. I think it will help our LSBs function a little better. Even might reduce the size of the rooms you need a little bit for your meetings. There's a number of minor benefits, but the major one's just to make the boards a little more functional.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, so I'll take the stack. Teresa, go ahead.
I can go either way on this one, but I think of all the bylaw amendments, this is the only one that I'm thinking that I would say no on. And the reason is, as it stands now, the pool for the PNB is the local station board. And I would say literally more than half of our local station board does not want to run for the national board. So you're making the pool so much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
If this bylaw fails, it doesn't cost us any more money because you don't have to pay transportation for the local station boards. So I'm for leaving this pool open. And next year we could have a bylaw that says, well, the pool for the PNB would be people that have served at least a year on the local board or the local cab, for example. But I'm just concerned about getting a board so small of people that don't want to go to the national board, and you won't have a sufficient pool to send qualified people to the national.
Can I be on the stack? Thank you, Teresa. So that's Tracy, and did I hear someone else?
Summer.
Tony.
Summer and Tony. Okay, thank you. Tracy.
John to the stack, can you hear me?
And John as well. I got you.
Thank you.
Tracy?
Well, at least at some of the stations, one of the more frequent complaints that we get, and I'm, you know, speaking here from my perspective as having served as an election supervisor, one of the more frequent complaints that we get, and part of the reason that we have such really low turnout in our board elections, is that there are so very many candidates. People get these huge, thick books and these long lists. I believe at KPSK they had well over 30 candidates for their last LSB election, and they didn't make quorum. And that people find it utterly exhausting to participate in our process. To work with a more streamlined process would probably greatly increase buy-in in the election process, and I think it's likely to have the opposite effect from what Teresa is saying. I think it is likely to make the boards more nimble, more flexible, more pleasant to engage in, and I think that we are likely to have more people willing to run for the board and more people willing to serve on the boards and more people willing to vote in the process if the process were not as extenuated as it is. I know that even at my station, when people get the election books, I get feedback from people that care very much about KPSA. Like, they really don't have time to sit down and read 25 people's biographies and rate them in order. So I think the size of our boards is a detriment to community engagement. And I'm going to support the amendment.
Okay.
Can I be on the stack, Janet?
I have Summer, Tony, John, and Janet. Summer?
I'm John Stack, please, Manager.
And Manager.
Sure.
Summer?
Thank you. So as briefly as possible, 6 years ago when I was elected to the KPSK local station board, I found it to be so dysfunctional that I enrolled in a full college semester course in managerial supervision. And a huge component part of that course was group dynamics. Long story short, every study conducted on group dynamics has concluded that the best functioning group is around a dozen people, and that when it starts to go over 15, that people shortly thereafter break into smaller subgroups in order to feel socially comfortable. And we observe that on our boards. We have two distinct factions at most stations, but each one has broken perfectly into the approximately comfortable number of a dozen people. We functionally get more done in smaller groups, even when people from so-called different factions are on them, because it's still a smaller group of people, and people strive to reach consensus more effectively in a smaller working group. So I know people fear a lack of democracy, but democracy has been quite dysfunctional for us. I think if we could have functionality and boards that really served the interests of the public and the organization, we would be better served, and I have long advocated for a smaller board structure, and I think it will be beneficial to us. And this is a compromise between my ideal, 12 or 13, and the 22 that we have at the national and 24 at local. At 16 and 17, it's comfortable and still leaves room for the few people who will be absent on any one meeting, and you'll still have an ideal working group. So I thoroughly support it, and I hope we can finally get it passed.
Thank you, Summer. Tony?
Yes, I think I would support this amendment.
because we have to streamline these boards, not just the LSB, but the PNB. It is too large, too unruly, too political, too much everything. So we have to streamline and have some rational, get to some rational business, and you have to have a rational, manageable number for the PNB as well as the LSB, even though I know this amendment speaks only to the LSB.
Thank you so much, Tony. I have John.
Yes,
I have John, Janet Montagé, and Janet. John?
Hi. I would agree with what Summer said as far as group dynamics, and I think that we can see very readily how groups form and how someone who's maneuvering behind the scenes tries to get a large enough group. And with a smaller group, it's a little bit harder. I mean, this manipulation still goes on, but it's harder to control. But when you have this large mass of people, many of whom don't really have any direct, easy for somebody who has ulterior motives to direct them. And I would hope that with a smaller board, we would be able to have people exercise their independence. It would be easier to have genuine training to show people how to work with the board so that they're not subject to manipulation by others who intend to have things their own way. And I think a smaller board is much more manageable in many ways. So I would favor this bylaws amendment. Thank you.
Thank
Richard
you so
to
much.
The sec.
Janet?
I have next. One thing I fear very much about Pacifica and both its boards, though less in the national board, is the sealing off of boards to a sort of political class, those people who become facile with the ways of organizing Pacifica and the ways that the LSBs and the PNBs vote and align themselves and how you insinuate yourself into Pacifica without any qualifications whatsoever. So without any qualifications whatsoever, I am kind of worried about shrinking the boards. It's hard enough to get anybody. People are kind of recruited or forced and yanked into it, usually by parties. But by accident, it's more likely that with a larger pool, you will get the oddly interesting or creative or provocative person that God knows our LSB needs. And it happens every so often, you know, that some original person gets on there because, for whatever crazy reason. And I would really think if we could think of these two bodies as the House of Representatives and the Senate, I could certainly see that a smaller group would be more nimble or functional. But I just don't know where the highways and byways and bridges are from listeners. I mean, that's what this whole bunch of baloney is all about anyway, isn't it? That listeners are supposed to come and...
Your time is up, Janet.
Add their voices to this. So where are we gonna have the channels for their new, fresh ideas?
Thank you. Montagé?
Did you get me to the sec?
I have you on the stack, right?
Thank you.
Manage?
Yes, Manage. I have two. Actually, I agree with the size. The smaller size would be more manageable and less unwieldy and more practical. But my personal experience, and I find, you know, an LSB really problematic in two ways. One is that we have members who have been elected on LSB that either maybe one person has never showed up, or a few people show up maybe two or three times over a year or during their position, and we rarely have a full, rarely, I don't think ever we have had a full, maybe rarely is better. So people are forced to recruit people who have maybe names that are well known, or you know, whoever they are, for their fame, but they never show up for whatever reasons they have. So we are, therefore, we are deprived of having, and then what you get for the rest, the few that are left, you get these factions that they are able and willing to manipulate neighbors or do whatever, or manipulate process. So we become very... Yes, can I finish, please?
Yes, please.
It becomes very dysfunctional, and the fact that the more people, we are still going to have the factions, but it's more manageable in terms of getting work done and connecting with each other. But when we have so many people, it's very difficult to connect with other people and make, and also get things done. And when we don't get things done, people are more disaffected, and they want to leave and they don't want to come. I really support smaller grouping. Thank you.
Let me just mention to the board that we have gone over the 10-minute period, and I'm going to go through the stack and then see where we are there, okay? So I have Janice and then Richard.
Thank you. I will be very brief. Thank you. I'll be brief because many of the comments have been noted. I would just add that the ability to train LSB members in a more functional and concise way was not afforded in the budget. However, I'd like to work with the executive director to find ways to provide that training through some pro bono efforts in the cities where the stations are located. I do believe that the size of the board continues to be a hindrance, and the ability to gather listener comments, as Janet noted, should really, in my humble opinion, be strongly built into the online social content that stations have yet to begin to afford listeners for a mechanism of feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Richard?
Yes, I think Janet used the word provocative. I just looked that up, and it says making people angry or excited, deliberately aimed at exciting or annoying people. I think we're provocative enough. I'm going to vote for this, not because I think it's a perfect solution. I think other things may be a more perfect solution. But I'm going to vote for this because it is a step in the right direction. And I would ask that those who are thinking about not voting for it, to think about voting for it, so that we can pass it on to the LSPs and let the rest of the people in our family have a vote on this. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Richard. So, do we have a motion to approve this amendment?
So move. Carolyn here.
Is there a second?
Second.
Yes.
And let me just mention to the board that because we have a vacancy on the board with Dan Siegel, we now have a 21-member board for the interim. So that means that the majority or the quorum is 11. So we would, in order to pass this amendment, we'd have to have 11 votes. So, Mr. Secretary, if you would please call the roll.
Okay. Edward Steger, Rosenberg. Can't hear you, Tracy.
Sorry, I'm here, Richard. I was just on mute. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That is a yes.
Okay. Wilkinson Diaz, King, Norman.
Yes.
Yes. Stead. Brisson Crumshaw?
Yes.
Yes. Medina? Reese?
Yes.
Yes. Allen?
Allen says yes.
Yes. Polinar? Mitchell? Uzel, yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Woman? The smaller, more nimble body has persuaded me to say yes.
Thank you. Saba?
Yes.
Yes. Lane Ewart?
Yes.
Yes.
Heather Grace voting yes as well.
Heather, yes. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't call you. That's 11.
Serene, you didn't call Serene Roberts?
I didn't call Serene Roberts. Serene, are you there? She's not there. Okay, that's 11-0. Motion passes.
Thank you so much. So we will now move on to the amendment number 2.
Alan for the stack.
Which is to reduce the size of the PNB. So I'm going to ask for Bill Crozier yet again to make some comments. Bill, are you there to motivate this?
Yeah,
amendment?
I'm here. You ready? I heard Teresa want to say something.
Yes, go ahead, please. And Teresa, I'm going to have you on the stack. You want to speak to the Second Amendment, is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm going to have Bill. I've got you on the stack. Bill, please make your comments.
Okay, again, this was also discussed in 2012 in the Governance Committee. I wrote the original one, but incorporated suggestions from other people, too. And like the first one, maybe I didn't say this was actually approved by the PNB back in 2012, but it was not approved, and it got majorities of people present in at least 3 of the stations, but they didn't have enough people attending their meetings to reach the necessary 50% of the whole local board, so it wasn't approved. So it's coming back again. But this would basically reduce the size of the PNB to 17 by electing only 3 directors from each station for the PNB instead of 4. And then continuing having the 2 affiliate directors, so it's a total of 17. And the other little change would be to, instead of specifying that each station elects 1 staff member, there will only be 1 election, and they could still elect 1 staff member, but no more than 1. So it would be 1 election by STV for all 3 directors, and that gives the local station delegate assemblies a little more flexibility if they have trouble getting enough staff people that want to run. And this did happen a couple of years ago, I know, at KPFT, and they can still elect 1 staff member if they want, or they can elect all 3 of them can be listener members. And again, the range of reasons to make the board more functional. Another change in this amendment, which is kind of trivial, but it eliminates having at-large directors. I don't believe that's ever been used, but it's something I think could be abused because it would allow the majority on the national board. The existing bylaws would allow a majority in the national board to elect 1 more director at large, thus giving the majority more power. So I think that's a little anti-democratic. So this amendment would eliminate that. I don't think that's been used in the past, but it could be. And sorry, this amendment's kind of complicated because the size of the PNB is referenced several times in the bylaws. And one thing this also does is clean that up a little bit so that the size is only mentioned 1 place, and the other place is just reference that. So if they decided to change it back in a couple of years, you could do that more easily. So again, this is to make the board more functional. It also would reduce expenses. These telephone calls, like the one we're on right now, cost per person, per minute, per call. When I was on the board, I believe we were running about $1,000 a month just on phone calls for the meetings. And plus the in-person meetings, of course, cost money. And the more people on the calls, the more noise there are, the more interruptions there are, as you know. And it's kind of nice. This meeting is not as noisy, and there's not as many interruptions because there's fewer people on the call. And there's less travel. There's less hotel rooms when you go to have a national meeting. It actually makes it more affordable to have more national meetings, too. So I hope that clarifies it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. So I have Teresa on the stack. Teresa? Hello?
Sorry, I was on mute.
No problem.
I will support this, although I would like to address one thing that Tracy said. She said, well, if we will lower the size of our local station board, more people will run. I think that would actually, that's not the problem. It's not the number of people running that is confusing. We want qualified people, and we want a method of somehow separating those people that have qualifications from those people that just might have a catchy name or I guess maybe be a great person for like working at the station, cleaning up the station doesn't necessarily mean that you want to do fundraising, that you want to do governance, that you want to do budget. That is an issue. So no matter how we do this, once we pass these first two, we really have to think about, you know, how many signatures a person needs to vote to get on to, as a candidate, and how we can, because if we have 50 people running for, you know, 5 seats or 6 seats, it doesn't make any difference if you're saying that the reason why we have a problem is that they're just too hard to wade through the resumes. The second issue is that, you know, I'm going to support this, but we will have to deal with participation on the committees the way they are outlined, because when we have fewer directors, we're going to have them on a lot more committees unless we make adjustments.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additional comments? Do we have a motion to approve this amendment?
Alan moves that we approve this amendment.
Is there a second?
Yes. There's a second.
Is that Tracy? Tracy second?
Yes, it is.
All right. Mm-hmm. So can we move to the vote? Are there any objections?
No, Heather, for a bylaws amendment,
anyway.
You do have
yes.
to call the roll. Yeah, you have to
yes.
have the number of votes.
Thank you. No, we will call the roll. Thank you. So, Mr.
Okay.
Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Okay. Alan?
Alan says yes.
Yes. Polinar? Mitchell? Uzel, yes. Burden?
Yes.
Yes. Coleman? Can't hear you, Janet.
Sorry.
Janet,
yes.
Are you?
Yes, sorry.
Yes. Robert? Roberts? Salva?
Yes.
Yes. Gray?
Yes.
Yes. Lane Ewart?
Yes.
Yes. Edward Seeker? Rosenberg?
Yes.
Yes. Wilkinson? Diaz? King? Norman?
Yes.
Yes. John Crumshaw?
Yes.
Yes. Medina? Reese?
Yes.
Yes. Madam Chair, that's 11-0. Motion passed.
Thank you so much, Richard. So, all right, we will now move on to amendment number 3. And amendment number 3, get this in front of me here, I had it.
Does Bill want to come on and describe it?
No, hold on just one moment here. For some reason, I printed all these out and I cannot. Okay, hold on a minute, everyone. I need to get this if I had it here and it's missing now. Does anyone have that amendment number 3 right in front of them? I'll get it. Hold on. Hold on just one moment. All right. The next amendment is the notice requirements for meetings. And I believe that Tracy's going to motivate this amendment. Tracy, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
So please motivate this amendment.
Okay. Basically, we were asked to pull together this amendment by John Krieger, who is our FCC attorney and who has been dealing with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And essentially, the request came out of the fact that our bylaws have notice requirements in them for meetings that are not congruent with Section 396K of the Communications Act, which is what we're supposed to be following. Basically, there's just areas of the language that are not consistent with 396K, and in some cases, we're not doing what 396K, our bylaws don't dictate that we should do what 396K says that we should do, and in other cases, we overcompensate and put a bunch of language in our bylaws that isn't in Section 396K, including the part about broadcasting meeting notices three times a day for 7 days prior to meetings, which, of course, as you know, we don't do. And if we tried to do, probably our stations would go crazy. That's a lot of meetings. So essentially, we just went over 396K and rewrote the sections of the bylaws that were not congruent. It's my strong recommendation that we pass this, the meeting notice requirements. In 396K are not only binding on us, but they're pretty logical. And I think it just basically takes some language out of our bylaws that was a little discombobulated, and which, in fact, in many cases, we weren't following consistently anyway. I can go through it paragraph by paragraph if people want, but that might take a little more time than would be ideal. So let me stop there, and if there's particular, you know, parts of the motion that people want to talk about more specifically, say we can do so. It changes four bylaws clauses about various kinds of meetings notices and ties it to the language in 396K and eliminates some extraneous language that is better.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Are there any comments, questions?
Summer,
go ahead.
I just have to say also in terms of our efforts at the national level to improve all of our compliance and show, you know, excellent compliance with the regulations, that it would be most helpful to us to simply have our bylaws in conformity with the Communications Act and other federal regulations that we have to adhere to. So I support the bylaw. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Tony, for a question.
Yes, Tony, go ahead.
Did Quigley issue an opinion on this, or I'm a little confused as to what about our notice requirements are inconsistent with the, I don't know if he wrote a letter or a statement to the executive director.
Heather, may I?
Yes, please.
As I've reported to the board on multiple occasions in written reports and over the course of the last year, the predominant reason our TPD funds have been withheld for such a long period of time was as a result of the findings of the CPB audit and our compliance with the Communications Act. And in order to correct deficiencies at certain stations and across the network, I've had to appoint a CPB compliance officer. This is directly a result to how compliant we are with making things like meeting announcements. Our bylaws go beyond what the Communications Act requires, and we have enough trouble getting full compliance just with
we're now fully compliant, and we've been submitting some excellent-looking quarters to TPB, but seeing that the stations are fully compliant with federal law has already required that I make certain decisions in management, and having bylaws which go beyond that, which stations have difficulty complying with, which are very hard for them to fit into things like cart rotation, means that we run the risk of having less compliance with our own rules. So this bylaw amendment would simply put us in conformity with the Communications Act, which will facilitate our overall compliance with ourselves, and we shouldn't go beyond that because that's rather stringent already.
My question.
Thank you.
Hold on, just a moment.
Tony and then Janice. Tony, go ahead.
I had a question I don't think was answered. I was asking, did the Krigler, the general counsel, write an opinion or a letter in this regard proposing how we can correct this and saying what the problem was?
I would have to go back to email, Tony. He has reiterated this in terms of his dealings with me and with our technical department on multiple occasions. I could certainly look and see if he also put that. I'm sure he would be more than willing to do so if that would, if that's desired. But I can't say that he wrote a specific opinion because I didn't ask one. He was very clear that the fact that our bylaws, essentially, the CPB's area of enforcement is federal regulation, and as long as we're adherent to that, we're okay with them. But an organization which isn't, adherent with itself, which say does not in fact do what its bylaws direct it to do, that can raise red flags as well. And our bylaws call for much more in terms of constant broadcast of meeting notices with all the committees that we have at both the local and national level. It becomes onerous and burdensome for station management, program directors, and programmers literally to find enough space in the hour. We have so much room at the top and bottom of each hour for carts or announcements. And if you have, say, 9 committees at the local level and 9 committees at the national level, and they are all meeting several times per month, literally all of your on-air announcement time could be taken up with committee announcements. Mm-hmm. So we face a situation where either we are not sufficiently compliant or we don't have time to even announce what's going on with our programming or with special events. So it's just very problematic right now. So hopefully this will normalize it. I'm sure John would be happy to put something in writing that I could send on to you. Okay.
Manu J.
Yes, I have Janice and then Manu J. Janice?
I'll try to be brief. Tony, I wanted to say that I've worked with John Krigler for many years as well as a station manager and in other regards. I am not sure that it's necessary for him to put in writing an opinion that will coincide with the concept that we're currently discussing. I will tell you that my role on the national and local level has made it abundantly clear that the next 2 to 3 years of CPB enforcement of compliance will be a lot more rigorous and strict, particularly as the funding pie shrinks, the ability to continue to serve the number of stations that are currently being receiving grants will make it necessary for the organization CPB to use noncompliance very easily as a means of gliding stations off of support. So for that reason alone, and knowing the stringency that is just been placed on this item, I believe the organization would be served best by adding this amendment. It doesn't require any additional staff time, and I don't know that John would make an opinion on this minute level about our bylaws. I personally don't think it's necessary. I think that we need to make every effort we can to try to maintain our grants from CPB.
Thank you, Janice. Mona J.
Yes. Actually, thank you, Janice, for all of that explanation. But I think, especially saying that, knowing that our CPB funding depends also heavily on this, partially with announcement and notifications and all of that. I was wondering, not for if it's possible or if it has happened already, that not only Krigler writes the amendment for us or write the section for us, the article for us, but has he looked at this and said this is adequate? Because if we make a small error and if they are going to be more rigorous in evaluation of this policy, then we can get into trouble. You know, I don't, you know, I'm saying that if this has been passed to him, he has looked at it and said this is fine. They're covering everything. Thank you.
Thank you. Summer, Heather?
Summer, go ahead, please.
Again, this process of dealing with CPB has been, you know, well, I'm in my second calendar year now just trying to get our funds from last year. We've had so many conversations about our compliance with the Communications Act, and Otis and I, we've spent so much time working with the managers, pulling the board, I suppose, has no idea truly how voluminous the documentation is that we've delivered to CPB, but our meeting announcements, Encompass, web announcements, on-air announcements, many different means of announcement and for many different categories of meeting. And John and I have talked about this so many times at this point that the crux of the matter is that our bylaws should make our meeting announcements in conformity with the Communications Act, that we should not exceed that, that we should be in conformity with what federal law requires of us, and that will be sufficient. So if this bylaw amendment goes to that level, then we should be fine. It doesn't actually have to be any more complicated than that. What we are trying to do is simply become adherent and to stick to that and see to it that all stations maintain that level of compliance. I would say that he would, as long as it's in conformity with the community.
I'm sorry.
He will support it.
Heather, Summer had a qualification. I want to make sure that I understood it correctly.
Richard to the set.
I'm sorry. Hold on just one moment. Manjay, your comment again, please.
My comment is that I have Summer, I heard the qualification, what Summer said. I want to make sure that I understood it correctly. And if not, she explains it to me. Summer,
okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I need to go on to Richard.
Okay, thank you.
Did you ask me to talk?
May I speak?
Yes, Richard, go ahead.
Very quickly, this amendment brings our bylaws into compliance with the Communications Act, period. I'm going to vote for this. I urge everybody else to vote for it. And if you're on the fence, I urge you to vote for it and turn it over to the LSBs and the rest of our family to decide. Thank you.
Manager, can I talk?
I'm sorry, Manager. Yeah, please make your final comment.
Quickly. I heard Richard. If what Richard said is correct, I want to hear it from Summer, because Summer said if our amendment is in compliance. When he said if, I said if it's not, if I'm voting for this, I'm voting for something that is not in compliance, then we would be in trouble.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Manager. I didn't mean to raise doubt by the way I phrased it. No, I would. I hope that we will support the amendment. I guess what I'm saying is all that is required is that we are in compliance with the Communications Act, and that will be an improvement over where we are now.
And this amendment, the way it's written, what it's covering is in compliance with the Communications Act.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So do we have a motion to approve this amendment?
Motion to approve this amendment.
Is there a second?
Janice, second.
All right. Mr. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Okay. Burden?
Sorry, Burden says yes.
Yes. Coleman?
Yes.
Yes. Roberts? Saba?
Yes.
Yes. Gray?
Yes.
Yes. Lane Yord?
Yes.
Yes. Edward Seeker? Rosenberg?
Yes.
Yes. Wilkinson, Diaz, King, Norman.
Pass.
Pass. Razan, Crumcho.
Yes.
Yes. Medina, Reese.
Yes.
Yes. Allen.
Allen says yes.
Yes. Alinar. Henschel. Uzel, yes. Back to Norman. Can't hear you, Tony.
Yeah, this is Tony.
Yeah.
Did you say yes?
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll say yes so they can go to the board, but I honestly do have reservations, but yes.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. That's 11-0, Madam Chair. Motion passes.
Thank you so much, Richard. We'll now move on to amendment number 4, and this is regarding the to reduce the election's quorum. So do I have anyone on the call who would like to motivate this amendment?
Alan would like to motivate.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. We just, you know, we have very high ideals in this foundation, and we had very high expectations, and when we created these bylaws, we created like a little government, and, you know, we were going to be like a little Green Party Pacifica, and we were going to have higher expectations than any other organization. Well, we just discussed the fact that we've actually shot ourselves in the foot because we had higher expectations for notification of meetings than other organizations, and it's cost us a lot of money. In our last election, because we had higher expectations of what quorum were, and we had an election supervisor that kept trying to have a quorum in Los Angeles, we've had problems meeting quorum for elections in D.C. and also in Los Angeles. I asked our election supervisor point blank if the other organizations that he was election supervisor for, if he had such a high quorum. And he said, oh, no, that's frequently 5%. I said, then why must Pacifica have a higher quorum? Well, because Pacifica is Pacifica. But we are shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, we might have very altruistic people, but when it comes to voting, they get busy with their other projects, with their other passions, and they forget to vote. So I would just like our elections to be able to move forward. And I have a really high expectation that those people that do vote will make an informed decision. And I'm hoping you will support this motion for that reason. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the fact. And so I'm taking a stat now. Tracy, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, in this particular case, the problem is that what you said isn't true. The average quorum level, the average response level for a not-for-profit board of directors election in the United States is 15%. Of the membership. That's statistics, that's factual, that's what it is. Some are higher, many are lower, but that's about what it is on average. So by shooting for 10%, we're not talking about excessively high expectations. We're talking about being consistent with what other organizations get. Now, why don't we meet those standards? Well, I think we have to look at the fact that, you know, realistically our election process is a turnoff to a lot of our members. There's all kinds of reasons why that's the case. But if we don't address those reasons, but we simply lower the quorum to accommodate the dysfunction, I think that's going in the wrong direction. We have to try to make the process more pleasurable to engage in, not reduce it to a smaller and smaller and smaller fraction of the membership. The problem with going even lower than 10%, which is, let's face it, not that high, is that once you do that, the credibility of the governance structure and the sense of the governance structure is in fact democratically elected and represents the will of the membership becomes a harder and harder argument to make. So I think essentially that by doing this, we shoot ourselves in the head in terms of maintaining an effective democratic structure, or at least working towards having one. So for me, I don't think this bylaws amendment is the right answer to the problem.
Carolyn, on the sex, please.
Carolyn? Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I think one of our problems is that we have not, it's like WBAI's tower, we have not exploited the potential. We know that it's actual and accepted that internet, for instance, voting increases turnout. We have not done outreach. We have not educated the listeners. We've killed the folios to a great extent, and our internet newsletters just aren't making it in terms of interesting and involving. So we have a long way to go. I would like to keep the bar high and hope that we can reach it rather than try to lower it.
Thank you. Are there any additional comments? Is there a motion to approve this amendment?
I move that we approve this amendment.
A second.
And it's been seconded by Carolyn. So, Mr. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Okay. Edward Seeker. Rosenberg.
On this one, with apologies, I am going to vote no.
No. Wilkinson. Diaz. King. Norman.
Yes.
Yes. Kidd. Brazon. Crumshow.
Pass.
Pass. Medina. Reese.
No.
No. Allen.
Allen says yes.
Yes. Molinar. Henschel. Uzel, no. Burton. Can't hear you, Carolyn. Coleman?
No.
No. Roberts? Sava?
No.
No. Gray?
Also with apologies, no.
No. Lane Ewart?
No.
No. Crumshow?
Sam? No.
No. Okay.
Burton, I'm sorry, I got off the call.
Okay.
I'm voting no. Thank you.
No? Okay. Madam Chair, that vote was 2-9.
Thank you so much. So the amendment does not pass.